Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 87 of the Pause.com Entertainment Podcast. We are your hosts,
Tony.
And I am Lou. How you doing, Tony?
I'm okay.
You're just okay?
Yeah. I've been sick. Today's like day 10 of being sick. But because of that, I have lots of movies to talk about.
Oh, yeah. So that's something. You're very hirsute.
What?
Harry.
Yes.
His hair is long.
Going for the,
his beard and his mustache are growing in.
Right now,
you're starting to look like Morgan Grimes from Chuck. But taller.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, you should.
I'm going for Barry Gibb. That's the.
Okay,
end.
Let's.
That's
okay, you got
goal.
The look on the way. Now let's hear the voice. Was that one of his songs?
No, that's like Jimmy Fallon doing Barry Gibb.
Oh, what was one of Barry Gibb's songs? Did he have any of his own, or were they all just?
I think he had a solo album.
Yeah,
what in there? I don't. Obviously, it wasn't.
Did he do that one with Barbara Streisand? Yeah. Was that him? What song was that again?
I don't know.
Islands in the Stream.
No, that's Dolly Parton.
Was
it
really?
And the always changing Kenny Rogers.
That was Dolly Parton?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. You don't know what song he sang with Barbara Streisand?
No. And it's not even worth looking up.
It kind of is. You just look it up real quick.
Really? Come on.
Well, I want to know now. Now I'm curious. I can't let go of stuff like that. Maybe I have OCD. I don't know. But now that it's out there, I want to know what song it was.
Guilty. Came up. I didn't have to press on the mic.
Yeah. There you go. That's a pretty good song.
Yeah.
Yeah, all things considered. I don't even know what that means. Do we have any mail that we can go over?
Not really.
What? What have you been? People been doing? What have you been going outside? Right. That's nice out. What's wrong with you,
Mike?
Folks?
Actually, posted on our fan page that
hi, Mike.
We had talked about Zorro before, and you were going on.
That's
about
right.
The,
and he liked the original.
Yeah, the 1940 Mark of Zorro.
Right. And who was in that again? Charlton Heston.
Tyrone Power.
Mm-hmm.
And Basil Rathbone.
Basil Rathbone. Who I believe...
I miss the old days when people would name their children after herbs.
And spices.
This is my daughter, Coriander.
And our son, Tarragon. I believe that does still happen these days, actually.
Yeah. Parsley.
Sure. I think there are people naming their kids after...
Well, I mean, back then you had Basil, you had Rosemary.
Right, sure. Her baby.
I think that's what killed it for everyone.
Dillweed, I don't know. that was a good one.
So that's really it.
That's it? That's all we got?
Yeah.
We got. Well, you're flipping through there like it's willy-nilly.
It's just stuff that you and I posted.
Oh, okay. That doesn't count, does it? Maybe we should start sending each other
commented on it.
Maybe we should start sending each other letters on there and just read them as if. I'm going to start posting as somebody else. Dearpause.com. You guys.
But I will point out, awesome. We had a little string here talking about The Office, and I did not realize that Kim, otherwise known as Beth, is married to our other listener, Jason.
The happy couple.
Yes.
The happypause.com listening couple.
And
I think
actually that was a really cute exchange between the two of you ribbing each other. So feel free to keep doing that because it was entertaining for us.
And I feel that this is proof positive that listening to the pause.com entertainment podcast is a healthy marital aid. Right? Is it not?
Yeah.
Can we not say that now? Studies have shown.
Hey.
Studies have shown, right?
We have two...
We have one
testimonials
case study.
Right here, right on
actually,
our
actually, there's
page.
No actual testimonials, well, just our keen observations, right. Which are going to have to do in this particular study. All right, you want to get right into talking about
let's
games?
Let's get right in there.
Let's get right in there.
I've been playing more L.A. Noire.
Okay.
Not a lot more, but it definitely gets better. The cases get better as you keep playing.
Yeah.
Remember I was saying, like,
yeah,
I wanted
they're
to,
a little simplistic.
Yeah, so there's been a little more action, but there is a lot more of the, like, interviewing and, like, you know. Like I said, it's a new game mechanic for me and for everyone. I mean, it's never really been done like this before. So it takes some getting used to. But then once you do, it's pretty cool. I mean, like you really are a detective.
Right. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
Except without having to go through all the, you know, schooling and not actually getting shot at in real life.
Right, exactly.
So if you want to be a detective, but you're kind of lazy, this is the perfect thing for you.
Yes.
No school. No getting shot at. You get all the rewards.
Of really
winning.
Nothing.
Winning.
Right, winning.
Moving on to the next case.
I also, from Gamefly, it was on my queue, and it came to me, and I'm like, well, whatever, I'll try it. I played a little Star Wars The Force Unleashed 2.
Yeah.
And I have to say I like it.
Yeah? More than the first one?
More than the first one. You know what? The mechanics are the same.
Okay.
But the story's better to me. And actually, I didn't realize, only because I had played the first one before the TV show I'm about to talk about, but the guy who does the voice for the character that you play,
okay,
is the vampire from the American Being Human.
Okay.
And they also, like, your character looks exactly like him.
Oh, really?
I mean, expressions and everything.
Yeah.
So, you know.
That's pretty cool.
It's a plus for me because I like the show.
Right, because you like that show.
But no, I really like I like the story so far. I'm probably like a couple hours in. And so far I've seen Boba Fett and Yoda and, like, you know, it's nice to see your old Star Wars
buddies. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and any run-ins with Boba Fett?
Soon. He's after me right now.
He is after you. Wow, that's not a good thing to have.
It's not, but it should be fun.
But who would you rather have after you, though? Boba Fett or Jango Fett?
I guess Jango Fett.
Yeah, because he's dead.
Well, there's
so
that.
He can't catch you.
No.
Right.
But so far, I'm liking it. I mean, it's, you know, my complaints about this are the same as my complaints about the first one. I mean, the control.
There's a lot of combos, right? Aren't there a lot of combos?
Yeah, but you get used to it. Not combos in the way that you hate them, no.
Oh, okay.
There's just a lot of different, you know, you have a lot of different powers, so there's different, you know.
Combos.
Key combos, yeah. But it's not combos in, like, you know, X, Y, X, Y to do this. It's not like that.
Okay, okay. Well, that's all right then.
Yeah. It's just like, you know, hold the left trigger and press the, you know, X to do this. And like, but you get used to them after you start using them a lot.
Right. You know, we've talked a little bit, that's all you have, right? Just those two?
Yeah.
Okay. We've talked a little bit on the show a number of times in the past about the forthcoming Star Wars The Old Republic MMO. And I just want to talk about it a little bit because they keep, every once in a while, they reveal a new class or a new profession or, you know, a new, you know, profession or class tree or something like that, and they put out these videos. And the latest video that they put out, I was actually a little bit bothered by, and I posted something on our page about it, because they show your, you know, the player character killing what I'm assuming is an NPC, which is a female, in a most gruesome way. He, like, slices her with a knife, and then after she falls to the ground, he shoots her a couple times. And it seemed very un-Star Wars-y to me. But the
now,
other
was
thing,
the female, was it a human female or, like, a female?
It was female enough where you'd think, oh, there's a chick. You know what I mean?
Look at the boobs.
Why? It wasn't going to go anywhere near there. I just meant, you know, it's not like a reptilian alien that you're like, oh, it's just a lizard lady monster person.
Right.
You know, this was like a woman. You know what I mean? And so it was a little bothersome from that standpoint. But also, if you watch those videos, first of all, I don't think the graphics are that great.
They're not.
At all. They look kind of Spartan. And they actually don't look, to me, that much better than, like, Star Wars Galaxies, which is like 10 years old at this point. And the other thing is that, like, you see a lot of the characters walking around with these, like, giant machine guns, and a lot of the characters are, like, really buffed and hulking and stuff, and you don't see any of that in any of the films.
Right.
And I don't understand why they made the decision to go that route with the characters and the professions and the weaponry and all that kind of stuff. And it just seems very un-Star Wars-y to me. Like, I really don't get what they're going for, because it just doesn't seem like what you would expect it to be, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see, but it just
so far,
doesn't
it's not
seem
looking promising.
No, it's not looking promising at all, I think. And I haven't played any games, but I do want to talk about something, because I moved recently, as I believe I may have mentioned before.
Mm-hmm.
And as part of the move, I am trying to reduce the clutter in my life, and more specifically, my house. And so I didn't want to reinstall.
Or, do you still have the wiping kit?
I have no comment on that at this time. Yes. So I didn't want to hook up our old speakers, because, you know, to our computers, because they both were 2.1 speakers, you know, so they each had a subwoofer.
It's going to be a long story, isn't it?
Not really.
Right.
This is a mini review of a few different speaker systems.
Ah.
And so I wanted to get just a pair of left and right speakers, but I wanted something that was still going to sound good.
Right.
So, you know, with a subwoofer, I don't think anyone who's got a subwoofer on their computer speakers, I don't think you realize how much that subwoofer is doing until you take it away. But the thing is, when you have a subwoofer, first of all, it takes up a lot more space. Those speaker systems are usually pretty ugly, and there's usually a lot more cables, because there's usually like two or three extra cables because of the subwoofer. So again, I was trying to get rid of all that. So the first set of speakers I got was made by Lassie, who is typically known for making Mac peripherals.
Uh-huh.
They have these speakers called Sound 2, and or maybe it's supposed to be Sound Squared, I don't know. They were developed in combination with a French speaker company called Cabas, which is known for really, really, really high-end speakers, like $150,000 speaker sets. And so I expected them to sound pretty good. And so they actually kind of look like just a speaker cone. Like it's a big round face, and then the rest of it is just kind of a tube that goes towards the back, if you can sort of picture that. And they're huge. They're like the round part is like 8 inches. So they're big. They're pretty big on the desk. So the first thing that bugged me about these speakers was that one of the reasons I got them is because the case of the speakers is all white. The grill on the front is black, but the rest of them is all white. The cables are all white and everything, which I really liked because, you know, we're doing sort of a modern decor and it kind of fit in and everything. So I take out the power cable and it's black. It's like, why wouldn't you just include a white power cable? So that was the first thing that was kind of annoying. Second was the instructions did not clearly state how to turn the things on and adjust the volume, which was annoying. And they're USB speakers, so they don't plug into the speaker jack on your sound card. They plug into a USB port, but you still got to plug them in.
Right.
Which is weird.
Right.
So now you still have as many cables, so why not just go into the speaker jack? I didn't quite understand that. So anyway, that was weird. So then the instructions weren't clear on how to turn things on. The worst part is that they sounded terrible. They sounded like the parts that the range of the speakers that was there sounded nice, but there was no bass whatsoever. Like, and my test for this was when you first launch World of Warcraft, you press the play button and you hear this big boom kind of sound, right? So on these speakers, it was like, bleh. I mean, it was like that. It was like this little tiny sound.
Like a tiny poot.
Like a tiny poot. And you'll have to ask Tony on the Facebook page what that means exactly. Although I think people could probably figure it out. So anyway, so those went back to the store. The next ones, I went to the Bose store and I got the...
How many of these are we going to go through?
The two bad ones and the ones that I finally settled on.
Okay.
So then I went to the Bose store and I got a pair of their Companion 2 speakers, which were about, the first speakers were $69. These were $99. Again.
So far you're proving you get what you pay for.
Not really, because these went back too.
Okay.
They also did not have any bass. A tiny bit more than the Lassie ones,
right,
but not enough for me to keep them. So they went back to the store. So finally, I settled on...
You got Dynex.
I did not get Dynex. I got a pair of speakers from Altec Lansing called Expressionist Bass. And
because you figure it has bass in the name, so
right, it's got to have some bass. So actually, what they did was really clever.
Was it kicking bass? Did it have kicking bass?
I would say it's kind of kicking, or at least walking with a high step. I would say sort of a goose stepping bass. What they did was they made the speakers shaped like a cone, and the regular drivers stick out the front, and each one of the speakers has a 4-inch like subwoofer cone that points down. So you get a lot more bass out of two speakers than you would with normal speakers. So if you are looking for a pair of just left and right speakers without a subwoofer, and you still want them to have a fair amount of bass, not as good as if you had an actual subwoofer, but much better than any other set of left and right speakers I found, I would go with Altec Lansing's Expressionist Bass right there.
There you have it.
$75.
And this is for your computer, correct?
Yes, these are computer speakers. That's the entire conversation was about that. Just want to make sure you people know that at home.
There was a lot of extra stuff in there, so I didn't know what to hold on to and what to let go of.
All right, so there you go. Well, you know, we don't do a lot of reviews on here, so I figured I might as well do one since I just had, you know, some experience directly with that stuff. So there you go. You want to go on to miscellaneous?
Sure.
Go ahead.
As of today, the PlayStation Network has been completely restored, with the PlayStation Store becoming available just hours ago.
Witness the power of this fully operational PlayStation
Network. There's
still
no word on when will we receive our welcome back gifts.
And your credits and all that kind of stuff.
Right. Yeah. So, but they say they're working on that.
Okay.
There have been inquiries.
Do you feel better? You feel like a weight has been lifted?
A little.
A little bit. Yeah.
Because when I bought, I pre-ordered L.A. Noire, so it came with a couple extra cases.
Yeah.
Like cases to work on.
That you... Not cases to put the disc in.
Right. I wasn't able to download them with the codes yet because
there
the
was
store
no,
was closed.
There was no download
ability
at all.
E3 begins this week, and gamers everywhere can experience the expo at www.e3, that's the number 3, insider.com. The site will be a virtual event highlighting many of the real show's exhibition booths, videos, interviews, and presentations.
And do you have any E3 news yet? What about the next thing?
Well, there is the next thing, but that's not really news from E3. Well, I'll just read the next thing. Sony's E3 presentation will stream live in a special screening room in PlayStation Home on June 6th at 5 p.m. Pacific time.
You know, Sony did officially state that they're working on the next PlayStation. At E3, they said this.
Really?
Yeah.
Even though their presentation isn't until June 6th at 5 p.m.
Yes.
Pacific time.
Yes.
Ah.
I read a quote by a Sony executive.
Oh.
So there you go.
He's no longer with the company.
Yeah, no, he's not. Now works for Tiger Electronics, making the next Furby.
There is talk that Mass Effect 3 will be playable with Xbox Kinect. That's interesting, don't you think?
Yeah, you know, I also read something about how the people behind, I want to say it's Forza Motorsport,
okay,
maybe that game, are working on a way to use the Kinect to do head tracking.
Yeah,
so that, like, when you move your head, the view will look like out the sides
of
the car.
Cool.
That would be so cool. That would be so cool if you could do that. Because that's one thing about, like, racing games that have that kind of perspective that's a little annoying is you really feel like kind of boxed in,
right,
in a sense. So that would be really cool if they could make that work.
David O. Russell, the director who was going to bring Nathan Drake and the Uncharted franchise to the big screen, has dropped out of the project, which seems to now be on hold.
Come on.
Yeah. You know what? I read it. There's a really good article on IGN right now, and it was just a couple days ago, so it should be easy to find. They're saying now as games have become more advanced and become little movies of themselves,
it's harder to justify making movies.
Exactly.
Games, yeah.
Especially ones that are as good as the games.
Right. Because the game, you get to experience stuff and figure stuff out for yourself.
Right.
Right. I mean, that makes sense. But at the same time, there's so much that you can do in a narrative setting that is not fun to do in a game that you would think, would, if the characters and stories are good enough, would still warrant it. Kind of bummed. Now, did they ever cast Nathan Drake? Or was Nathan Fillion still in the running? Or,
you know, I don't know.
Because I know he wanted to play
him. Right.
But...
Oh, wasn't it Mark Wahlberg?
Oh, was it really?
Yeah.
Ugh. Come on, you give it to Mark Wahlberg instead of Nathan Fillion? I give it to Nathan Fillion.
This is cool. It has been revealed that in a recent trailer for the upcoming Batman Arkham City that the Catwoman character will be playable.
Wow.
And apparently she's like really nimble and she uses her whip to get to like...
Yeah. You know, high places.
High places, but she can also like crawl under things and like... She will not have. She will not have
drink
a cape,
milk out of a bowl on the floor.
She will. I don't think that's one of the things you can do.
Oh.
But she will not have the glide feature that Batman has. But
yeah.
So
she will
pretty
have
cool
the purr
though.
Feature that Batman does not have.
Right, exactly. And
hey,
finally,
bad guy.
It has been rumored that the new portable PlayStation system, which is currently being called the NGP, will be called the PS Vita.
The PS Vita.
Yeah.
So you're supposed to live the PS Vita Loca, apparently. What a terrible name. So what does that basically mean, PS Life? PlayStation Life?
Yeah, apparently.
Because you could take it with you for your whole life.
Let's see how long that life lasts. I do want to mention before we finish this segment that I made Lou watch the new trailer for, it's been all over TV, so I'm sure most of you have seen it. The new trailer for Modern Warfare 3, pretty cool.
Yeah, it looks nice.
Very
cool. It looks pretty intense.
Because I would imagine most of that is like in-game footage.
Looks like it's got, you got guys with weapons. You got trucks.
Yeah.
You got tanks. You got
helicopters.
You got your choppers, your Hueys, your Panzers.
But what's cool about it is it takes place, you know, in real locales.
Right, as long as they have the letter E in their name.
Right.
So
they can make it
a 3. Put the E as a 3. So there will be no fighting in Norway, for instance. No fighting in Finland. Okay.
But it looks cool, though, doesn't it?
There's still hope for Liechtenstein.
Okay.
It does. It looks pretty good, I think. As long as you don't have to cover all the time.
No, those games aren't. I mean, there's a little cover, but not like a Gears of War.
You know, I have Modern Warfare 2, and I've never played it. I should check
it
out. Yeah. You played the whole thing?
I didn't get all the way through it, no.
Was that the one that had the one scene that...
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Is that it? Is that all we got for games?
That's it. Well,
right, cool.
Yeah, because you didn't play anything.
I did do that nice long review.
You
though.
Did, though.
All right, cool. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about TV. Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about TV. So, American Idol is all over and done
it's
with.
It's all over.
Little Scotty McCreary won.
Ugh,
it was a travesty.
Scotty McCreepy.
But you know what? Scotty McCreepy. I like that. That would have been funny if you had gone to the show with a big banner that said, I hate Scotty McCreepy. You know, we were talking about this the other night, and even though he won, it may actually be better for Lauren that he won, because perhaps she is then not locked into the same kind of specific deal that he is locked into, and maybe whatever deal she gets, because you know somebody's going to pick her up. right. whether it's them or somebody else. Maybe whatever deal she gets will be a little bit more.
She'll have more wiggle room.
Right. You know, and I mean, again, you got to go back to somebody like Clay Aiken or even more so Daughtry. And they weren't the winners. And look how right. successful they were.
Even there was a good article in yesterday's USA Today talking about like the top six from last year, like what they're doing now. And really none of them are, I mean, they're still trying to pursue their careers, but none of them have been hits. And Crystal Bowersox, who came in second, has sold twice as many of her debut album than Lita Wise did.
So she sold two copies?
Because
he is the lowest selling ever, right?
Did you hear the story?
Isn't he the lowest selling Idol winner ever?
I believe Taylor Hicks might. No, I did mention that. No, I reported on that.
Yeah. Sold like less than 1,000 copies, right? Or something like that?
It was more than that. Oh, it was like 100,000.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. That used to mean something.
Right. No,
not anymore.
Nothing. Yeah.
Not anymore.
There was an interesting article I read online that, you know, you saw Lita Wise sitting in the audience, but they never acknowledged him. So apparently they went to the producers. They're like, hey, how come, you know, Lita Wise was sitting in the audience. You never even like mentioned his name or anything. I mean, you just pushed him. He was the winner last year. So they said to Nigel Lithgow, who sounds like such a jerk in all the things I read about him. They asked him like, what was up with that? He's like, well, we asked him to present like, remember there was a trophy this year?
Yeah.
He said that they asked him to present it to the winner and that Lita Wise refused.
Yeah.
So Lita Wise came back and said, yeah, they asked me 10 minutes before the winner was announced. Like he was sitting in the audience and he just came up to him and was like, hey, would you like to do this? And he's like, at that point, you know, right. No. I mean, like, why didn't
did
you
he,
ask?
Did he sing on the show at all this year?
Yeah.
He did, yeah. Like earlier on in the season, right? Yeah.
I have to say, that finale, despite the fact that he was the last person I wanted to win, that finale was great.
It was pretty great.
Because I really like that kind of music and I was familiar with the song. Mark Anthony doing the...
I love that number. You know, I read some review that some guy wrote who writes about such things. And he said it was the worst finale Idol's ever had.
I think it was one of the best.
I really enjoyed it. I think aside from, what was it, season 5 that was really the first one with like the huge crazy
surprises.
I think, except for season 5, I think this was probably my favorite. I loved that number by Mark Anthony. I thought it was fantastic.
It was amazing.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And I really love that song. It's an old Hector Laveau song, which is the real life character that he played in the movie El Cantante.
Oh, okay.
And he was kind of like the big superstar of salsa music, which is what that was. But Jennifer Lopez. Like,
oh my gosh. Amazing.
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 It was funny. I was making jokes because remember when the girls did all the Beyonce songs and then Beyonce came out?
Yeah.
And then they showed Jennifer Lopez like clapping. And I said, you know, under her breath, she's going.
I'm
better than Beyonce. So then when she came out and that number was over, then I was saying that was her proving. She was like, you know.
She's a great performer, I have to say. You know, what's so amazing to me is I really did not like her at all before this season of this show. And I kind of have a little crush on her now.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, she seems sweet. She seems incredibly smart. Yeah. I mean, at least about the whole business that she's in. And
she's hot.
And she's incredibly hot.
Right.
Which I never really thought before either. But yeah, she's pretty smoking hot.
Yeah.
Was Il Volo on the finale or were they on a previous episode?
No, they were on a previous episode.
I really enjoyed that. I thought those guys were amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. They're like 16, 17-year-old kids.
Yeah.
It's insane. But yeah, so I was really disappointed that...
You know what were a couple letdowns, though, on the finale? Tony Bennett.
He's getting old. I mean, what is the guy, 80 years old now?
Yeah, but...
Yeah, what about Tom Jones? At least Tony Bennett could still sing better than Tom Jones, I thought.
I don't know. I think they both... I mean, Tony Bennett kind of like stumbled over the words and stuff. I mean, it wasn't good.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I agree. Tom Jones, that's a weird person that they brought out for the guys to do.
Yeah, it's strange. Excuse me?
Well, you know. And did you think at first when the one kid was singing Kiss that it was going to be Prince? And then
I did. But he was already on, wasn't he? A couple years
ago. Was he?
I think he was on a few years ago.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah. Some of those song choices were just ridiculous.
And as much as I loved the first Beyonce number where like the girl sang all their songs and then she came out. When she came out and sang her new song, it was torture.
It was terrible.
It was terrible.
It was terrible. There was something else that was terrible from that night.
Well, you know what? I like the Lady Gaga song that she sang, but that performance wasn't good either.
Yeah, I just don't get her at all.
Yeah.
I don't get that kind of music. I enjoy her.
It's
just not my thing. You know what's interesting about her? She dresses a little weird.
I just heard on one of those entertainment shows yesterday that that she's having financial trouble because of all of her outfits.
That's like the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Like, she spends like most of her money on her like outfits.
Maybe she should stop doing that. She's actually an incredibly talented singer.
Yeah.
I mean, she's got a really nice voice. I just don't like most of the songs that she sings. I've heard her sing a couple songs here and there. Usually they're slower things because, you know, most of her stuff is dancey stuff that I don't care about. But the slower stuff, I mean, she's got a really nice voice.
Yeah.
Maybe she just you know, chill out and stop spending money on...
on meat dresses.
on dresses that require a power source.
Right.
Wait, before I forget, have you seen the commercials for this TV show that's starting soon? It's the name of the show is the woman's name, Whitney something?
Yeah, is that... I have seen the commercial
for it. Is she a comedian or something?
She must be. I've never heard. I've seen her before, though.
Did you see the commercial where she's like getting out of bed with her husband or boyfriend or whoever it is, and she's like kind of freaking out about something? And then the next scene they show is him in a jewelry store. He goes, you know, I want to get her something that says, calm down. It's actually really funny.
That's it looks actually like that picked show to be, one of the best new shows.
The little bits that I've seen of it make it look really funny. Yeah,
best shows of the new season.
Okay,
let's just quickly talk about The Voice.
Okay. That show is so boring to me.
You know
it's
what?
So boring.
It is, what they're doing now is so boring.
It's
so
done.
Really, the hour... well, they're only doing like one more of those, and then it goes.
No, it's done. It's done. Next week is the first live show.
Oh, okay. So it aired yesterday then?
2 days ago. Today's
Thursday.
I
haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
But you know, that whole hour thing.
Seriously, could be 15 minutes.
I watch it in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, I watch the battle.
All you need to do is watch the battle. That's it. Right. The rest of it is a complete waste of time.
Complete waste of time.
And I still don't get what the judges are competing for. I still don't understand that at all. I will say, since I have seen this past performance or this past episode, I will say that I believe Adam is in a much better position to win than anybody else.
So it was good that he was holding out.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. That's all I'm saying about that.
Okay, I'll check that out.
But yeah, the show was really boring. I find it to be very
yeah,
boring.
That segment, you know, I loved the blind auditions. I thought that was great.
I thought it was a great concept. The biggest problem with that show is Carson Daly. He is so just dry and stiff.
I agree.
And
I don't like him at all, but I have to say he's been a lot less offensive than I thought he would be on this.
Well, I didn't expect him to be offensive. I expected him to be like half asleep.
I'm offended by him because I don't like him.
Yeah, he's just boring and lame.
Yeah, so what they need to do to fix this show is the battles, they need to do all of them in 1 hour episode. All of them.
Yes, I agree. Because we don't need to see the conversations.
We don't.
We don't need to see the advice. We don't need to see, what's his name, the country dude saying, I brought my secret weapon every single time that he struts out the Joker. I mean...
Reba McEntire.
Reba McEntire. How you kids doing? How you may have seen me at the circus or in a clown car, getting out of the clown car with my little clown fringe, wearing some big floppy shoes. May have seen me doing that, carrying a parasol when it was sunny outside. It's like an umbrella.
You know what scares me is it sounds like you've worked on your Reba McEntire impression.
But she's got that like permanent Joker face, and she talks like that. Yeah. It's a little creepy.
All right, let's move on to some other finales. Finale of The Office. I know you haven't seen because you haven't seen The Office all year, but the finale was one of the best episodes of The Office ever.
Really?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was great. Because the whole episode was about them interviewing people for Michael's job.
So it was one of the episodes of the series.
Yes, Jason, it was. But I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great. And James Spader was great on it.
Now, is that the only episode he was on, or was he on a few?
No, just that one. No, it also had Ray Romano, Jim Carrey. It actually had a British woman.
Is James Spader up or down?
Pardon me?
Is he up or down?
What does that mean?
Size-wise.
Up.
More than on Boston Legal?
Well, I never watched Boston Legal.
Oh, really? That show was fantastic.
He's certainly up from Pretty in Pink.
And Stargate.
Okay, you know what? I'm not going to be able to find it in time, but there was a British woman that I think comes from Doctor Who that was on. She was one of the applicants applying for Michael's job.
Okay.
Older, blonde hair. If I hear her name, I'll know it.
Look up... Look up the character, or I mean the actress who played Donna. because that's the only person I can think of who it might have been. I mean, like, how old? 50s?
Maybe, yeah.
Oh, no, it's not her. I can't think of who that might be.
Okay, give me one second.
Okay. I don't
Talk
know.
Talk amongst yourselves.
There's only one of me, so that's going to be a little tough to do. But I will say that I did not see this show. I know nothing about this show. I haven't seen it since last year, the show. Well, what was the character that she played on The Office?
One of the applicants.
Oh, they didn't say her name ever?
They did, but I mean...
Oh, you don't remember it. I don't know. But anyway, what about her?
I'll come up
with
it later.
What about her? She was good?
They're saying... I've been reading like all these insiders saying that she will probably be the replacement.
Really?
Yeah. And she used to be on Doctor Who.
And she's British.
Yes. And actually, her character was really funny.
I wonder if it's the woman who plays Sarah Jane. But...
You know what? That sounds familiar.
I don't think she's blonde, though. Because none of the companions have been older. I mean, the oldest one was probably in her 30s.
It's her, the one who plays Sarah Jane.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
What's the actress's name?
No.
Do. You know, I'll do the Doctor Who theme.
Oh, no, it's not her because apparently she died.
She didn't die. She's still on a TV show, isn't she?
It says Elizabeth Sladen, Doctor Who's Sarah Jane Smith, has passed away.
Really?
Yeah. Just last month.
I didn't know that. Holy moly, that's terrible.
But she looked like her.
Wow.
Anyway, I'll find it later.
Yeah. Find it in between segments. Okay. Yeah.
Finale Celebrity Apprentice went exactly as I figured. John Rich won.
Who?
John Rich.
I don't know who that is.
Country singer.
Oh.
From Big and Rich.
Okay.
He was, he played to win. and that's what you got
to
do.
And he won to play? I don't know. That makes no sense. That's not one of those phrases you can flip around and have it work.
That's all I have to say about Celebrity Apprentice.
That's all you got?
Yeah.
We watched a few things other than American Idol and The Voice. We watched an episode of Pawn Queens, which is one of those pawn shop shows, but it takes place right here in our own backyard in Naperville. You ever seen that show?
Really? No.
Yeah. It's these two women who own a pawn shop, and that's really all I can say about it.
What?
It seemed like very staged.
Catherine Tate.
Catherine Tate. Catherine Tate is not in her 50s. That is.
She looks like she's in her 50s.
That is Donna.
She looks like she's in her 50s.
Yeah, she's hilarious. She's hilarious. How old is she? Look her up. She's probably like 30 something. Yeah, that's Donna.
No, she's my age. She's 43.
Okay. Yeah, she was probably my least favorite companion. But only because of the type of relationship that she and the doctor had. You know, not anything having to do with her. And the guy, I've said this before, the guy who played her grandfather on that show, absolutely brilliant. I mean, every episode that he was on was made so much better just because he was in it.
So he was bloody good.
He was bloody good. So anyway, Pawn Queens, like I said, it seems very contrived and very fake. Like the episode that we saw, first of all, these women are very like Chicago, okay, because they're in Naperville. And they wear the same clothes on every episode, apparently.
It's very Chicago.
Which is weird. And it seemed like they both had, you know...
Major Mahoibas.
Fake Major Mahoibas. Maybe they don't.
So when you say they're very Chicago, I pictured something different then.
I
pictured outspoken.
In terms of their speech and stuff.
Okay.
And the thing is, it's like... So part of the episode we saw dealt with them...
It's funny when you say, like, they're very Chicago, and immediately I picture, like, an overweight woman with a big mouth.
Well, the big mouth part is really what I was going for.
Okay.
Because, you know, Chicago women run the gamut from super skinny to on the big side.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Especially in the city itself.
Right.
Further north you go, you start to add pounds, I think.
No, other way around. South side girls are much thicker than north side girls.
I'm talking about once you cross the border into Wisconsin.
Ah. well, it's the dairy
cheese,
state.
Yeah, the dairy state, exactly. So part of the episode was them infighting with these two guys that work with them about decorating the front window or whatever. But then this woman drives up in this, like, super rare pink convertible Mustang that she wants them to buy. It's like, who takes a rare pink convertible Mustang to a pawn shop? Who does that? You sell it at an established car auction where you're going to get top dollar from serious collectors. So it's like, you know, they just like went around the area scouring people for like crazy stuff.
Or it was just completely staged. Like she didn't really want to sell it.
That's what I'm saying, because she didn't sell it to him.
Yeah.
Because they offered her, the guy who, you know, sort of appraised it on the fly, said it was probably worth, you know, 50 to 60,000. They offered her 35. She said she wanted to hold out for 70 something, which she probably could get because only like 100 of these cars were made. And, you know, he verified that it was actually authentic.
Right.
So it was just goofy, and it wasn't really interesting either. So I won't be watching.
So
that
thumbs
yet.
Down to Pawn Queens.
Thumbs down to Pawn Queens. Then we also watched the new Cara DioGuardi show with Jewel, co-host Jewel, who's had her teeth fixed.
Yeah.
And another woman who likes to show off her cleavage.
Jewel.
Well, I don't know if she has always had major
Well, you know,
Moibans.
She used to live in her car.
I did know that.
sure, she wants everyone to know that.
Yeah, apparently. and I actually really enjoyed it. Now, it's you know, not a singing competition.
Right,
it's a songwriting competition. Yeah. But all of the people can kind of sing. But here's the thing that drove me nuts about the first episode was that at least twice, just in the first episode, they picked people as the best people who I thought were unquestionably the most worstest of the group.
Wow.
Like terrible songs, no melody, blah, blah, blah. And then the worst song from the first round by the most annoying person in the entire group wins the round.
Well, I think that's a really hard competition. I mean, you can definitely say with singers, like this singer is better than that singer. But I think songwriting and songs is much more subjective.
Well, definitely, definitely.
So that would be harder to judge, I would think. I mean, obviously, if you hear something that's terrible.
Right.
In
defense of what I just said, I also don't like certain genres of music.
Right.
And that song was in a genre that I don't like.
Right.
So,
Crunk?
Maybe. I don't know what that is. So, quite possibly. Quite possibly. But anyway, what I really liked about the show, too, was not only is it something different, but by the way, do you remember either last season or the season before a contestant on American Idol named Jackie Tone, who was kind of earthy, kind of folksy? She's from New York. She's one of the contestants on this show.
No.
And I think at least one of the other people might have been on Idol before, too. But anyway, what I really like is the format is actually the same kind of format as like Top Chef, where there's, you know, like a quick challenge and you get some, you know, benefit to winning that. And then an elimination round.
Right.
So in this quick challenge, they each had to write the Bravo formula.
Right.
They each had to write a hook for a song, and the four people who had the best got to pick their teams for the elimination round. And in the elimination round, they all had to work together to flesh out that hook into a complete song. So it was pretty amazing that, like, in a span of a few hours, really, these people were like writing songs, which was kind of cool to see that process. You know, as fake or real as it was just still kind of interesting. And some of the songs were actually like, wow, that's pretty good. Like, I could see that being a real song on the radio and stuff. So that was pretty neat. I like it. We're definitely going to watch
that
one
again.
And then the other thing is we saw the last episode of Chase, because I believe you said that was canceled,
yes.
Right? Yeah. And I have to say I'm really disappointed that show's going away. I really loved the casting. You know that... I've talked about this before, but Cole Hauser played one of the main characters. I had never liked him in anything before, and he was great in this. The lead actress, Kelly Gittis, she was fantastic. I'd never seen her before, even though Amy said she used to be on one of her soap operas that she used to watch. And the supporting cast was really, really strong, and it was just a fun show every week. And not fun like Chuck fun, but I mean, it was very entertaining. There was good action.
It's done.
Good character stuff. It's a bummer.
That reminds me, I read it earlier this week, and I didn't put it in the miscellaneous because I forgot, but so I'll mention it now. It appears as if Sci-Fi is picking up the event as a miniseries.
Really?
Yeah.
Just to finish the storyline kind of thing?
And if it does well, then they will take it on as a series.
Wow. Yeah. Hey, you know what else they should do? Bring back Stargate. Yeah. Jeez. You know, I don't know if we ever talked about on the show yet. Did we talk about the demise of the soap opera? Have we talked about that?
No.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Well, how they canceled All My Children,
like basically,
and One Life to Live.
Yeah. Some of the most popular and long-running TV shows on TV are going bye-bye. Right. And they're saying it's because of all the reality TV that soap operas don't really make sense anymore. I mean, why follow these contrived stories that you really only need to watch once a month to stay up to date.
When you're watching the annoying housewives of whatever
wherever.
City.
Yeah. And they're quote-unquote real.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a strange TV culture we're in right now.
You know
what?
That's a thing that Real Housewives and all the knockoffs, like, because now they have, like, on VH1, they have Basketball Wives and My Wives. All of those shows are probably my biggest, like, the thing I hate the most about TV right now.
I've never seen a single one.
It's nothing but terrible people being terrible to each other.
I've never seen any of them.
In situations that you think were set up and not even real.
Right, which they probably are.
Yeah.
Which they probably are.
But I hate it.
You know, I still want to get her on the show, but remember I told you a friend of my mom's who's a real estate agent did an episode of House Hunters, and she said that every single thing out of their mouth is scripted. Every
You're
word.
Kidding.
Every word is scripted.
Out of
all, everybody on the show. The people buying and the real estate agents, every single word is scripted.
Oh,
so they go
I hate
through.
To hear that.
They go do all the things, and then they.
But
tell
it really
them,
happens, though, right? I mean, they're
yeah,
really looking at these houses
yes,
and really
yes,
picking
yes,
one.
Yes. But they go back then and say, "Okay, go into this room and then talk about this. Go into this room and then do this, and then go into this room and then do this." And they film them doing the things that they want them to say, which is why a lot of times the conversations seem a little strange.
Right.
And people seem a little like uncomfortable doing, you know, saying what they're saying and all that kind of stuff.
I don't like that.
Yeah. So, but I definitely want to get her on the show because I want to.
Because that seems like one of the more real ones.
Yeah.
So if that's that way, imagine those like big elaborate ones like the Housewives.
Yeah. Also, have you seen the commercials for. Oh, I can't remember what it's called now. It's some like, I think it's like some dating show. It's like dating and Survivor put together.
Yeah.
That actually looked kind of funny. Yeah. I hate to say it because I don't like either of those formats, but that actually looked kind of funny because it was like, you know, a couple trying to have this like romantic first date, but they have to, you know, take a catamaran. They have to actually row the catamaran to get to the island where the dinner's going to be and then like climb up
that
a rock hill and stuff. Yeah, it could be. Could be kind of funny as a train wreck, if nothing else.
Ready for some miscellaneous?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay. The John Grisham novel, The Firm, which was also a hit film for Tom Cruise, will become a mid-season series on NBC with Josh Lucas as the lead.
Josh Lucas is
whom? Oh, my God. You totally know him.
If I would totally know him.
You would
know I would him. Assume that you would totally know him.
Yes.
And if that's the case, then why are you looking him up? Just tell me what he's been in.
The only thing that comes to mind is Sweet Home Alabama.
Never saw that.
American Psycho.
Show me a picture. Yeah, he looks familiar.
Yeah.
Although I don't know why he looks familiar.
Beautiful Mind.
Yep.
Hulk.
Remember that. Sure. Okay. You know, I thought that was a great movie. I have to say.
What?
The Firm.
Oh, I thought that was about Hulk.
No, I thought that was a really great movie.
It was a great movie.
Yeah. One of probably one of my favorite Tom Cruise movies, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? That would make a good show, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
You could keep
although,
that going. I mean, at some point, he's kind of like, you know.
Although, is it going to be sort of like The Fugitive then?
Where there is an end?
Well.
Right.
Because the point of the in the movie.
Is him getting out of that.
Is he gets screwed over by the people he works for.
Right.
And he has to. He's
because
like, sort
he won't
of on
comply
the run.
To their criminal
Right. He's
ways.
Sort of on the run from them in a sense.
Right.
So I'm almost.
It's definitely something that could be dragged out over at least a season.
Yeah. I guess if you think of a show like. I don't think you ever saw this. You never saw Alias, right?
No.
If you think of the first three seasons of Alias, I guess you could definitely see how that could work.
But I mean, they have to take some liberties with it. Otherwise, we know how it's going to end.
If you ever get back into watching Fringe, which I hope you do, because again, I think it'll be one of your favorite TV shows ever. You should go back at some point and watch the first three seasons of Alias. Brilliant.
Yeah, I have all that kind of time.
Brilliant. Okay, mister, I've been at home watching movies for the last 2 weeks.
I know, we will talk about that later.
Mm-hmm.
The next Super Bowl won't be until the first week of February 2012, but NBC has already confirmed that the coveted post-game slot will be filled with an episode of The Voice.
What?
Yeah.
Hopefully not the season that's on right now.
Right. No, it's going to be, it's a mid-season, like a mid-season show, so it'll probably be like the premiere or something.
I'm sorry, that show is not good enough to warrant that spot. They should put something in there that's expensive that they want people to watch because it's expensive.
Right.
Bad idea.
Cheryl Cole, a judge from the British version of The X Factor, has been suddenly replaced by Nicole Scherzinger from the Pussycat Dolls for the American version of the show. There has been no official statement about the last-minute switch, but sources are saying that, quote, she was too British and that America would probably not warm up to her. Her quick termination did not sit well with her, so she has, in turn, quit the British version as well.
Wow. Okay, so there were rumors that the reason she left was because she was feeling homesick, but apparently that's not true if she's quit the British version. Wow, that is really sad.
Yeah.
That's really sad. I watched a bunch of videos of her when I first heard about this. I didn't have any trouble understanding her. I thought she was charming and adorable.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
I mean...
You know what? This just sounds like more like stupid executives like overthinking things and...
Or this was all planned to generate buzz for the show. Because think about it. American Idol
just had...
Well,
then they should have had a better backup than Nicole Scherzinger.
American Idol's just had a fantastic season. The best it's had probably in 5 years. The Voice is doing pretty well from what I understand.
Right.
And it's got to compete against, I mean, it's got to compete somewhat against The Voice, not really against Idol because it's on in the summer, but, maybe they just wanted to generate some buzz.
But like I said, well, then yeah, they should generate buzz and had a replacement that's more, because Nicole Scherzinger was already a judge
on that singing talent,
that acapella show. Yeah. And she wasn't good on that.
She was fine, but she... Yeah. She didn't really add anything other than eye candy.
But I could see how maybe this was a setup because she was already picked to host this show.
Nicole Scherzinger?
Yeah, she was going to be the host.
Oh.
And now they made her a judge.
Okay, I got one word for these people. Dunkelman.
BBC America.
At least 11 people right now are laughing their asses off.
Right, the 11 that know who Dunkelman is.
Exactly.
Even I stumbled a little. I'm like, who? BBC America is developing a TV show based on one of my favorite other podcasts, The Nerdist.
Wow.
So it'll star Chris Hardwick and...
Right, except he's going to get fired because he's too American.
Well, it's BBC America.
I'm just saying. Just saying.
That is such a great podcast. So when you're done listening to this one, download a couple episodes. It's great. And finally. You read ahead, didn't you?
Just did.
Taxi star and longtime drug addict Jeff Conaway, dead at 60.
You didn't say that right.
How do I normally say it?
Taxi star and longtime drug addict Jeff Conaway is dead at 60. You got to really emphasize this is the dead.
Oh.
Are we sad about this?
Yeah. I mean... Yeah. He struggled for years and years and years with, you know,
addictions of all sorts. And, yeah.
And he was Kinnicky. So
he was
that.
Kinnicky.
Yeah.
He was Kinnicky. Just a simple guy who liked girls with jugs as big as their neck. Didn't he say that? Wasn't that one of his lines? I'm pretty sure. You're talking about Grease, right?
Yes.
Yes. I believe he did say that. I could be wrong, but I believe so. So that's all we got for TV, ending once again on a happy note, thanks to Tony. And we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about movies. Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about movies. You've seen a lot of movies. What's going on?
I have.
I'll discuss the
later ones. Let's talk about Thor first.
Okay,
you saw Thor. And it was, you know, it was entertaining. But it just was, eh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was not Thortastic.
It was not Thortastic.
What about Thorific?
And it was a waste of Natalie Portman, for sure.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, she was good in it, but, like, you know, she should be doing better things.
You know, I'm starting to be of the mindset that saying no longer holds any merit. That this film was a waste of this person's talents. If that was the case, then they wouldn't be in the movie. You know what I mean? Because they got, I mean, she's been in enough movies by now where she can know, looking at a script, probably,
right,
if this is going to be a great movie or not. So
right.
I don't think any.
So it's her own damn fault is what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't think any performance is a waste of an actor's talent. I think sometimes it's a bad casting decision. Like, what was that movie a few years ago that Angelina Jolie was in where she was literally in the movie? It might have been the. What's that?
Oh, the one with Matt Damon?
Yeah, that FBI or CIA movie.
Yeah.
She was like literally in it for like 5 minutes. And they had her like as one of the top billed people.
Right.
I was like, what? I mean, I was kind of bummed about that because she wasn't really in the film.
Right.
But other than that, because you can make the case all day long that.
Well, here's the case you can make. You're going to see it. If one of your reasons is going to see it because you really enjoy her.
Yeah.
And then you go there and then she's just kind of blah. And like, you know, that's a waste.
That's a waste of your time. It's not a waste of her talent.
I mean, let me say, the movie was entertaining. I was entertaining throughout. I mean, I didn't hate it.
But it's just kind of forgettable.
They're much worse. But it just was, Well, first of all, I've realized with this movie that I prefer my superhero movies to not be so fantastical. I want them to be a little more based in reality.
Right.
Which I think is why Spider-Man works, why Dark Knight works, and why the first Iron Man works.
Okay.
In that there's enough realism. I mean, yeah, there's stuff in it that would never happen. But, I mean, this was like, you know, most of this movie takes place in like an alternate
Asgard
mythology.
Or something.
Yeah. Right. I mean, like... Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. First of all, I liked second Iron Man way better than the first one.
Yeah.
And because, again, if you want to talk about reality, you cannot build an Iron Man suit with one tool and an armed guard looking
like
over you
said,
in a cave.
Yeah. You have to suspend some disbelief.
Right.
But
I'm just saying. But I know what you're saying. And I think that I don't know if I actually have a preference that I could quantify so easily, because I love the first Spider-Man. I love the first two X-Men movies. And again, I've said this before, but what I love about the Marvel comic movies is how they take place in real cities and not like Gotham or, you know, or Metropolis, you know, that sort of thing. I like that they're in real cities. I like that they talk about real things that
we're
all
familiar
with.
Well, I mean, you're kind of saying what I'm saying.
Right. But at the same time, like, even though we were talking before that we started recording the show, Tony was saying that he thinks that Captain America looks like it's going to be great, whereas Green Lantern looks like it's probably going to suck. I'm really looking forward to Green Lantern because I love the fact that there's like all these aliens and they're going to be going off world and all that kind of stuff. Like, I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But the problem is it's almost never done well.
Right.
You know, and I'm not saying anything about that movie. I don't know. But that kind of stuff, I think, is a lot harder to do well without it coming across as cheesy.
That's my point exactly. And this movie had a lot of that.
A lot of cheese.
You have Anthony Hopkins as his father. So, I mean, there's the cheese. You've just dialed up the cheese factor.
But again, there's another
right there.
Person, you know, Silence of the Lambs, one of the great performances of, you know.
Right, but he's one of those. I mean, the reason I say that, Anthony Hopkins has become a caricature of himself, just like John Malkovich, just like Nicolas Cage, just like. I mean, he's.
Do you think
so,
Nicolas Cage was ever a great actor, though?
Yes, I do.
In what?
Yeah. I mean, especially if you go back to his early stuff, like Honeymoon in Vegas or Valley Girl, or.
You think he was a great actor in Valley Girl?
Yeah. Really? Raising Arizona, I thought he was great in.
I hated that movie.
Oh,
I just
love that
absolutely
movie.
Hated that film. Thought it was terrible.
Really?
Thought it was a terrible film.
Oh, I love that movie.
Hated it.
I
mean, yeah, there were some funny parts in it, but I didn't like it overall. Leaving Las Vegas.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of a gimme, though.
Yeah. Not really. I mean.
No, I mean, I think, yeah, I mean, he went, I think any capable actor could have done that.
Also, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
I mean, it's a tour de force
see,
in that
yes,
he had
yes.
to portray that character, but I think any capable actor
I agree.
Could have done
it
just as well as him.
You know what I really did like him in, though? Was it Matchstick Men?
Yeah. You know what?
I thought
great
he was
that.
Absolutely.
I will agree with you.
I thought that movie was so brilliant.
Yeah.
And,
I'll agree
and
with
so,
you.
And so, so yeah, I'm going to take it back then. I agree.
Yeah.
He is a very he can
now,
be a very talented.
Now I know you hate this movie, and I don't want to start a whole conversation about this movie. But a movie I think that showed his acting skills.
Yeah,
because I like this movie, and I know you hate it.
What?
So don't go on your
what?
Long diatribe about it. But I thought his act like he showed his acting chops in Face Off.
Yeah, I didn't like that movie.
I know you did.
In fact, I don't even remember.
Because remember, he had to play two completely different, like
right.
polar opposite characters,
right.
and I think he was really convincing in both, much more than John Travolta was.
Yeah, I just honestly, I don't remember it enough to say either way. But I forgot about Matchstick Men. I forgot what a great movie that is.
That is a great movie.
And it's so sad. I mean, it's like one of the saddest movies I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But it's a great film. It's a great film.
So Thor, you know, it was, I mean, obviously they needed to make this movie in order to make the Avengers, so.
Yeah, see, I don't know anything about the whole Avengers thing. So Thor is one of the Avengers?
Yeah, it's Thor, Hulk, Captain America, and who's the last one? Oh, Iron Man.
Thor, Hulk, Captain America, and Iron Man.
Yep.
So there's a new Hulk movie coming out? Or no?
No. That one they're not going to try and do again because they failed in the last two.
I mean,
but you know that they don't have either of those actors playing the Hulk. Hulk will be played now by Mark Ruffalo.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
That is interesting.
Well, I mean, come on. Bill Bixby.
But, you know, they had the same character. You know the guy, I think his name is Clark Gregg, the guy who was in Iron Man 2. He's kind of the guy behind the scenes.
I don't know. I'd have to see it again.
He plays the ex-husband in New Adventures of Old Christine.
Never seen that show.
Okay. Anyway, he's all over this movie like he was in Iron Man 2. Like, he's the guy who I guess, sets up the Avengers.
Okay. Wait. I thought that character was played by Samuel L. Jackson.
He's also in the very end of it. Yeah, they're tied together.
Oh, okay, okay.
He's like a... Yeah, Samuel Jackson is like, I think... Now, I don't know the comic book lore, so anyone who knows it is going to, like, you know, dispute me, and that's fine, because I don't know really what I'm talking about. But the guy, Clark Gregg's character, works for the government.
Okay.
And Samuel Jackson, like...
He's more of a rogue.
Right.
I gotcha. Now, here's something I'm curious about, though. We just watched that extended Captain America preview, which I will say does look fantastic.
Looks great.
The stuff that they do with Chris Evans in there to make him look meekly and weak at the beginning of the movie versus how he looks when he's Captain America, incredible. It's like, you know, Benjamin Button stuff, but with hopefully a fun story behind it.
Right.
As opposed to Benjamin Button, which had no story at all.
Right. Another movie where they did that kind of like switch the head thing is, which you haven't watched yet, is Social Network.
Okay.
Because there's a set of twins.
Yeah.
But they're both played by the same guy, so they had someone else play
the
brother.
Body. And then I see.
He had to do both, you know, he had to do the scenes as both, but then they only used his head.
That's
on
wild.
The other character's body.
That's so
or
wild.
Or the other actor's body.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's so wild.
So it's done really well. I mean, I would never have known that.
Right.
If I didn't watch the, like, making of.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's something that can be done, you know, really well now.
Yeah.
So.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
it's
really
amazing
is.
Amazing technology.
Especially when you see when he's playing the little wimpy kid. I mean, even his face is thinner.
It's
and like
gaunt. And yeah. I mean, he just looks like a, you know, 90-pound weakling.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that does look really cool. And, you know, going back to the first X-Men, one of the things that I loved about that movie was how it opened on that scene with Eric becoming, you know, realizing that he had those powers at the
concentration
camp in Nazi Germany. I mean, it was such a great, powerful opening for that movie and set a really good tone for it, you know, as not some schlocky, you know, comic book movie.
I also want to mention, since you mentioned X-Men, the new one opens this Friday, and
ooh,
it has been getting rave reviews. And all the reviews I've been reading, like on Rotten Tomatoes, is that don't go in expecting it to be this huge superhero action. It's more of a, like,
character story.
Piece.
Yeah, that's fine with me.
Yeah. I mean, there will be action, but...
I love origin stories anyway.
And it's... I can't wait.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to it.
The one thing
let's try and see that before the next episode.
Okay.
And then...
Okay. Maybe, you want to go see it together? I mean, will you have any time?
Yeah, let me see what my schedule's like next week.
Okay. Oh.
Let me see when I can pencil you
in. Yeah, thanks a bunch. what I don't get, though, is, you know, the... Captain America movie, the title of the Captain America movie is Captain America, the First Avenger. How can he be the First Avenger if Thor's been around for like a zillion years?
I don't know. Well, you know, Thor doesn't become like
Thor. Right. Until he comes here? After he comes here?
It was before he came here, but his father had all the power. It was Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah.
And then he like... made Thor
put
king,
it in a box
but
and gave
then,
it to
like,
him.
Yeah, I don't
here's
want to
the power.
Ruin the
don't open it.
I don't want to ruin the whole boring movie because just put you to sleep. I mean, it was okay.
Yeah.
I was entertained, but I by no means would see it again or own it.
Right. All right. So
let's talk.
Because you got something going on here.
Yeah. In the last couple of weeks, I've been sick and I've been just watching movies. Well, trying to find, things to watch on TV. And so, going through Netflix, I noticed that they have a ton of classic movies.
Right.
It's in streaming. And then I realized, there's a ton of classic movies that, especially doing an entertainment podcast, that I should have seen that I have never seen.
Sure.
I mean, big names of movies that when I tell people,
I've never seen it before,
they're like, I can't believe you've never seen that.
Right.
So now I've made it my summer project to see as many classic films that I've never
seen
before.
That's a good project to have.
And I have to say, it's really rewarding because, I haven't seen a bad one yet. And I'm about to name five that I've seen in the last week.
Okay.
So the first one I watched was Cool Hand Luke with Paul Newman
from
1963. Excellent movie.
Yeah.
And it's the kind of movie that... probably like started a trend of those type of movies. Like it has a little Rebel Without a Cause feel to it, and
right.
You know, the the rebel, you know, against society and all that.
Sure.
So it's probably one of the first to do that. But it's the kind of movie that wouldn't be made today.
Yeah. There's a lot of those, unfortunately.
Yeah. But I mean, for the time and period it was and the acting, it was great.
Yeah.
Then I watched Network, which is a movie that you could watch it today and it could easily
be
like
just as valid
today. Absolutely. Yeah. Probably more so than it was then.
Wow.
Excellent. And what I really liked about it was I've never seen Faye Dunaway in anything where she's not A, campy, or B, like overacting. I mean, I've never seen her in a good role where she's good, and she's great in this.
Yeah.
So that was one of my favorites of the five that I watched.
Okay.
Then I watched The Conversation, which was Coppola's film Between the Two Godfathers.
Okay.
Which starred
Gina I like Hagler. The way you say that as if there were only two.
Well, only two worth mentioning. But starring Gene Hackman, and he plays this surveillance guy who, like, people hire him to, you know, tape conversations.
Like a private dick.
Yeah. And it's great. And there's a twist in it that I never picked up on. And then it just becomes this, like, paranoia story. It's
Shirley from Laverne and Shirley's in it.
Uh-huh. Terry Garr's in it. Like
Terry Garr's in it? I love Terry Garr.
Like, baby Terry Garr.
Oh, yeah. How baby? Not that baby. Like, 20-something, right?
Probably, like, 20.
Yeah.
Yeah. Robert Duvall's in it. Harrison, a very young Harrison Ford, a pre-Star Wars Harrison Ford.
Who plays Shirley Feeney's man friend?
I don't know.
Nobody famous.
Not anyone that I knew.
Okay, I was just curious. I didn't know if it was somebody else.
Then I watched Out of Africa.
Okay, I've never seen that.
Interesting about Out of Africa. First of all, it's very epic, and they don't make that kind of movie anymore. But I really enjoyed it, and one of the reasons I watch it is because I really love the movie Color Purple.
Yeah.
And this beat Color Purple for Best Picture that year, so I wanted to see, okay,
was it worth it?
What? Yeah. And it really, it's a great movie. Yeah. And I know you don't love Meryl Streep, but it's Meryl Streep at her best. In
Meryl Streepiest.
It really is. But I will say, there's a couple of things. Robert Redford's in this movie and the next movie I'm going to talk about. Robert Redford to me is not a great actor. Right. Robert Redford, and I compared it to you at lunch, to Kevin Costner, where whatever role they're playing, it's still Robert Redford or Kevin Costner playing Elliot Ness.
Yeah,
Ray Hobbs or,
not a lot of range.
No. It's always just them.
But the thing is, to me, I guess the big difference for me between those two specific examples is that Robert Redford, to me, has a very, very engaging screen presence. Whereas Kevin Costner just kind of grates on my nerves.
I could see that, sure.
You know, so even if that's the case, I usually like watching Robert Redford, whereas I usually do not like watching Kevin Costner.
Okay, I'll agree with that. Robert Redford has a better chemistry with the people on screen than Kevin Costner does with his co-stars.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah, he's charming.
Right.
You know, he's got a charm about him. Although I did find him to be a little annoying in that movie that he made a few years ago, that political movie that Tom Cruise was in, and I think Meryl Streep,
I never saw that, yeah.
Did not like that film at all.
It did not do well either.
It was not a good movie.
Yeah, it didn't get good reviews.
But anyway.
But what's funny about Out of Africa, I bought Out of Africa on Blu-ray. Amazon had this huge, like, classic Blu-rays for, like, $6, so I bought a bunch of them. In fact, I still have
a bunch
that
price.
I haven't seen. Yeah, I mean, I justified it as that's how much it would cost to go see it.
Sure,
so,
less.
You know, I'll buy it. So, but Out of Africa is an interesting movie to watch on Blu-ray because it's so detailed that you can completely see how they overmade up Robert Redford to make him look younger.
Really?
Because there's 20 in that movie, there's probably a good 20 years difference between Meryl Streep and Robert Redford in real life.
Yeah, right.
But in the movie, they're supposed to be, I think, similar ages.
Okay.
So,
are they really that far apart in age?
Oh, yeah.
Really? 20 years?
Oh, I would say so. I'll look it up.
I wouldn't have guessed that. I would have thought they would have been like 10 years apart or something.
No, I'd say at least 20 years.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Because she's probably only like early 50s, and he's got to be in his 70s.
I don't know.
I'll look it up at the break. But so there's parts where you can just see the layers of makeup on him. And like when it gets really close to his face, you can just see like it's not blended well.
Right. Yeah, it's like all cakey and stuff.
And there's some blue screen shots where like it's so obviously blue screen. And it's because I'm watching it on Blu-ray that you notice it.
Right.
I'm sure if it were standard def, I wouldn't.
Right. That's interesting.
The last movie I want to mention that I've seen in my classic film project is The Sting. Believe it or not, I had never seen The Sting before.
Fantastic film.
It's the perfect film.
It's such a great
writing
movie.
And just a suspense and just like.
And one of my other favorite things about that movie is, you know, it's a period piece.
Right.
It takes place in the 20s?
30s.
Okay. Yeah. And it's, for me, an example of a period movie that, just like the original Star Wars movies, did not focus on the special effects. It was all about the story. This is a period movie that doesn't focus on the period.
Right.
It's that the period was a good setting to tell this story, but it's not like they spend a lot of time trying to wow you with the sets that they built and the clothing and stuff like right. that. And it's just so incredibly convincing. It's just like, it's such a great film.
Yeah, you
such
certainly feel film. That environment when you're watching.
Exactly. Yeah. And you don't feel that any of the characters is out of place. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just such a great movie.
It really
and
is.
And it's got some really fun twists and surprises in it.
It does, that you don't see coming.
Right, that you don't see coming.
It really is the perfect movie. And
it's
I
great.
Certainly see, like, watching it, I certainly see that it was probably a big inspiration to big movies that came later. Like, I know it's going to be hard to pick it out, and it's going to be even hard for me to explain, but I saw so much of that movie, now that I've seen it, in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah. Well, that's why I told you. That's one of the things that I told you why I didn't like Pulp Fiction is because I didn't find it to be that original because of other movies that I'd seen that were a lot older.
Yeah, I definitely see a lot of this movie in Pulp Fiction.
See what
Fiction.
I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But great. And so far, like I said, so far I'm having so much fun with, you know, this project.
Yeah. That's a really cool thing to do. I wish I had time to do that. I don't have time to do that. I wish I did.
So
was that your favorite of the five that you've seen so far, or would you say Network?
If I were going to pick the best of those five movies, I would probably say The Sting.
Yeah.
But if I were going to say the one that most resonated with me, I would say Network.
Okay. I've never seen, I don't think I've seen Network.
You should.
And I have never seen Out of Africa or Cool Hand Luke either. Is Cool Hand Luke a Western?
No.
Oh, I
no.
thought I always thought it was a Western.
No, he's kind of like a rebel, like street criminal, and he gets put on a chain gang.
Okay.
So it's just about him, like,
did you,
fighting
the song
authorities.
Go through your head the whole time?
Back on the chain gang?
Yeah. No. And then I fought the law and the law won?
No.
No. Those would be going through my head constantly. I wouldn't even be able to concentrate on the movie.
But some other things I've got lined up, Dirty Dozen.
Okay.
Apollo 13.
Oh, great movie.
I also, there's HUD with Paul Newman.
Never seen that.
Paul Newman, you know, I haven't seen a lot with Paul Newman except when he was older.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Color of Money. And,
yeah.
So I'm enjoying going back and looking at, because he's
a
great actor.
He's a really great
actor. A much better actor than Robert Redford.
Definitely. I mean, he did have a good range, and he was, you know, again, I've used this expression before, but he brought so much weight to anything he was in.
Yeah.
You know.
And he's a little guy, so that's hard to do.
It is hard to do. He probably ate a lot of potatoes. I don't even know what that means.
Or a lot of his salad dressing.
Yeah. Unfortunately, dead.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so I saw a couple of movies on demand. On demand, as a matter of fact.
Wow.
You're
loving the on-demand, aren't you?
I am. You know, I have to say, there's a lot of features of that whole Comcast menu network guide.
That you're going to have to get over?
That I'm not going to have to get over because, as you pointed out to me last week, Comcast has launched a new guide on a new piece of equipment in the Atlanta market. It is fully high definition, widescreen, looks absolutely
logos
gorgeous.
And all.
I mean, it looks gorgeous. It looks like, you know, it looks like a best of breed, you know, iPhone or iPad app. It's absolutely beautiful. And they're going to start rolling it out to the rest of the country next year. Of course, you'll have to get new boxes to run it, but it's going to be well worth it. There are a lot of things that I guess we got used to on DirecTV, for instance, that you don't seem to be able to do. Like, since there's no delete button on the remote, I don't seem to be able to select a folder of stuff that we've recorded and just delete that entire folder. Can you do that?
Yeah,
you have to go into Manage DVR and then check the box in front of each episode. And in the case of one of our son's kids' shows, we had 117 episodes recorded.
Ooh, that's annoying.
So I had to go through and click each one of those to get it
deleted.
Yeah,
I don't know a workaround on that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I hope that they update some of that kind of stuff to make that a lot more user-friendly.
Right.
But anyway, but I do like the on-demand. We've been able to catch up on a couple of TV shows with that. And it's nice just to be able to see some movies, you know, when you're bored. Been a little disappointed with the selection. Doesn't seem like there's a lot of stuff that we haven't seen. and we don't go to the movies that often.
Are you doing the pay-per-view on demand or the free stuff?
I've looked in both.
Well, you know when you have a lot is when you have movie channels. Because the movie channels will not only, in their folder, will not only have stuff that they're showing that month, but they'll have a bunch of old stuff.
Oh, yeah. See, we don't have any premium channels right now.
Because right now I have Showtime, Stars, Encore, and HBO. And so, like, literally from those four, that's probably over 100 movies I have.
I think that package, though, is an extra $30 a month.
Yeah, but you know what? We get basic from free through our build. Well, not free. We pay assessments. But right. Us, it's like our cable bill is, you know.
A lot less.
Less because, although we get our internet from Comcast, too. But
yeah.
But, yeah, because I mean. That's how we justify it.
Yeah. Because, I mean, she goes, the last time I was on the phone with somebody there, she's like, oh, did you want to add HBO and, you know, Showtime and Stars for $30 a month? I'm like, $30 a month?
Right.
I don't think so. I don't know. We'll probably end up doing it just to watch True Blood. But
which is coming
soon?
Yeah, within the next couple weeks.
Oh, well, we still haven't seen last season yet. It just came out on Blu-ray. I don't know why they don't release
it. I don't know why they do that either.
Release it early enough so that people have time to get caught up. Because you want them watching the show live.
Right.
I mean, it makes no sense. And all
But there is the plus that, like, you have a good 7-week span because they go on demand. And I think they keep them for, like, 6-7 weeks.
If you have HBO.
Well, you said you would probably get it because of that.
Yeah, I don't know.
And don't they have some kind of deal where, like, for the first 6 months you get HBO for free? Or not free, but, like, $10
or
something?
I don't know. I'll have to ask them again.
Yeah, you should.
They didn't give me any kind of deal like that. I got some deal because I'm doing, you know, TV and internet. Right. I got a special price, but it's still expensive as hell. Even with the special price, it's expensive as hell. Whatever. It's such a racket. That's why I have no sympathy for those companies when they complain about, oh, well, you know, it costs too much to do this. Like, no, it doesn't. You have tons of money. Go spend it on us.
Yeah. I send you $120 every month, and I'm one person.
Out of a bazillion.
Right.
It's ridiculous. So we watched, the two movies we watched, first one we watched was The Mechanic, another Jason Statham vehicle.
Any good?
You know, it was a very Jason Statham movie. If you like those kind of movies.
I have never seen a Jason Statham movie.
Never?
I mean, not one that he's starred in. I've seen, like, you know, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
You never saw The Transporter?
No.
Oh, the first one was great.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a great movie.
I don't know if that fits into my classic film project.
No, it would not fit into your classic film project, but it's definitely worth seeing. It's a really fun movie. Crank, you don't have to ever see that.
No.
Ever. But this was good. It was not as good as The Transporter. The story wasn't as good. He plays a hitman, you know, for hire, mostly.
Oh, well, that's a switch for him.
Yeah, mostly. Well, that's not what The Transporter is about.
Oh, really?
No. It seems like he does mostly like government contract stuff that people don't want anyone to know about.
Mm-hmm.
So he has this one job, and that sort of leads him to taking this younger sort of kid under his wing and teaching him the ropes, and a situation develops that ends up becoming a little bit hairy, and that's sort of where the meat of the movie comes in at the end. And I don't want to give anything away, but it was a typical Jason Statham, you know, movie.
Mm-hmm.
Some good action sequences, you know, a little bit light on the story elements. But that's okay for this kind of movie. I definitely enjoyed it more than Amy did. She thought it was just all right. I actually had a lot of fun watching it.
Right.
And I forget who the guy is who played the kid who he, you know, trained. But he was really good in the part because he was not likable. And that was a good thing for that character.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought it was pretty good casting, too. Tony Goldwyn was in it. That guy looks exactly the same now as he did when he was in Ghost. And you'll be surprised to hear this, but he plays kind of a jerk.
Really?
Weird. It's weird for him.
You know, I actually had met him a couple times, and he's actually very nice.
Really?
Yeah. Very nice.
Wow. I never would have guessed that in a million years. Very I would have nice. Guessed him to be exactly like the characters he
I would
plays.
Too, because he comes from the Goldwyns.
Yeah.
So you would think that, you
know, like the MGM Goldwyns,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. yeah.
Right.
So you would think he's probably been, you know, spoiled and snotty his whole life, but
yeah.
absolutely polite and charming and a gentleman.
Well, that's nice to hear. Yeah. That's very nice to hear. The other movie we watched was, we just watched this a couple nights ago. We watched I Am Number 4, mm-hmm. which is a movie about a space alien who is very hunky and goes to high school here on Earth.
I think you've just summed it up right there. And it stars the girl from Glee.
Who was great in it. Uh-huh. Like, I really liked her in this movie. And I don't really like her. When I was watching Glee, she was not very likable, you know? But she was great in this movie. The story is that their race, their planet fell victim to another race that was not interested in any kind of, like, peace or anything like that. And they just wiped them out. And most of them died, but some of them were imbued with these gifts from their race that would allow them to hopefully someday, fend off the bad guys and hopefully bring their species back from the brink of extinction. And so
this movie's already making my head hurt.
They scattered out to different places in the galaxy, and some of them came to Earth and just so happened to be hunky high school age kids. And each one of them has a guardian.
He just happens to work at Abercrombie & Fitch.
Right. Just happens to model for them. No. But so each one of them has a guardian who is, you know, supposed to protect them. And his guardian is played by, what's his name?
I did not see this film.
The bad guy in the last Die Hard movie. What's his name? You know who I'm talking about.
I don't.
You do. And he was also the bad guy in one of the Scream movies.
Matthew Lillard.
No, not Matthew Lillard.
Skeet Ulrich.
Not Skeet Ulrich.
Timothy Oliphant.
Yes, Timothy Oliphant. Thank you. So Timothy Oliphant played, this is the funniest part, played his protector and, in the story that they told to everybody, his dad. Didn't seem old enough to play a high school age kid's dad.
Well, he's probably our age.
Maybe he is. Yeah, I guess you're right. But anyway, so...
God, I'm going through the cast on IMDb and just flipping through, and the first 15 people all look like they could be models for Abercrombie & Fitch.
Exactly. Ugh. But anyway, so
it's like Twilight with aliens.
I have never seen Twilight, thankfully, but probably. But I had heard really terrible things about the movie, and it was not a good movie. The lead guy, the kid, you know, the Abercrombie & Fitch model, mm-hmm. not a good actor.
Alex Pettyfer.
But it was okay. It was just okay. You know, if you're really jonesing for something sci-fi, it was okay.
Timothy Oliphant is 43.
Okay. How old is Alex Pettyfer?
Alex Pettyfer is 21.
So definitely he could be his dad.
Sure. Very possible.
Definitely could be his dad. But anyway, so I don't think I would recommend it, though. If you like Jason Statham movies, I'd recommend The Mechanic. I'm not sure I could recommend...
Can you recommend a good mechanic?
Not really, no. They've all kind of screwed me over, to be perfectly honest. All right. You got any miscellaneous movie news?
We do. After The Hangover 2's record-breaking Memorial Day weekend, there has already been confirmation that there will be a third film in the series.
Unbelievable.
I've heard from people I've talked to who have seen the movie, terrible.
Really?
Yeah. Well, they say it's just, you know, they took all the stuff from the first one and just did it over again.
Is it the same exact cast?
For the most part.
That's so dumb.
But it takes place, you know, there's a different setting and, like, you know, it's the same premise.
It's like doing a sequel to Weekend at Bernie's. Well, what's the point? You did everything you could do in the first movie. Right. You don't need to do it again.
Well, they're going to do it again.
Ugh.
John Abel, or Ibel. I don't know. Screenwriter of the upcoming Candyland film, you know, based on the board game, has recently been quoted as saying that the film will be as epic as the Lord of the Rings films, but set in a world of candy.
Now, somebody I know posted that on Facebook.
Oh, really?
To which I replied, well, that's too bad because I thought the Lord of the Rings movies were so incredibly boring.
I agree. In fact, I saw the first one. It was eh. Went to see the second one, slept the little thing, never even bothered with
it. Here's the thing about those films, for me personally. I think they are exquisitely crafted films.
Yes.
I think they are absolutely beautiful as a sight to behold, but I did not care about a single character in those movies at all. It was all this, like, really slow kind of walking around doing nothing, punctuated by these battle scenes where I couldn't really tell what was going on.
Right.
And wasn't exactly sure of the outcome or what effect that was going to have on everybody. I mean...
And you know, at some point, everyone cries.
And everyone cries.
Right.
Which is what Amy's nickname for the entire trilogy was. Lord of the Rings trilogy, quote, everyone cries. or colon, perhaps. But I just, like, at the end of it, I just didn't care about any of it.
So you saw all three.
I saw all three. And this is the other thing that annoyed me. When we moved and I was unpacking stuff, I have all three, like, special edition box DVD sets. Like, why do I have these? I don't even know why I have them.
I do not know.
Because I can't imagine sitting through those movies again.
No.
They're so long, and nothing really ever happens in them. I mean, stuff happens, but it's like...
Actually, that third one really pisses me off because, you know, I try to see every Oscar Best Picture.
Right.
And I won't sit through it. That's going to be my exception for the rest of my life.
Yeah, you know, it was probably better than the second one. Yeah. Well, I honestly don't even remember. I got to be honest. I say it was probably better, but...
Well, that's because you knew that it was over.
I don't really know. I don't really know if it was better.
That's funny.
And somebody has my season one of 24 on DVD. If you're listening and you have that, could I have that back? Because I want to loan it to somebody else who I'm going to forget about.
It's not me.
No, it's not you.
Next, Vin Diesel has confirmed that another Riddick film will begin shooting this summer.
Another one that I just do not understand the appeal.
Me neither.
I saw
Pitch Black.
Pitch Black. I saw Riddick. I didn't think either one of them was that great.
Nope.
And I know people who are just rabid fans of those movies. I don't get it at all.
So would it be safe to say that Judi Dench, it was a waste of her talents in the Riddick movie?
No.
Even saying that, huh?
No. Wait, and then what's the other movie that she makes an appearance in?
I don't know.
I just saw something that she's like in a scene. It's like some comedy. Where she...
Sure, not confusing her with Helen Mirren?
No, I'm not confusing her with Helen Mirren. They don't look anything alike. Okay? I'm not my parents' age. I think that all British actresses are the same person.
The Curse of the Buxom Strumpet?
No.
It's not that because that hasn't come out yet.
Okay. No, it was some... I think it was a preview that we saw at the beginning of Pirates of the Caribbean. Or maybe...
Oh, she's in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, maybe that's what it was. Pirates of the Caribbean. Oh, I forgot to talk about that. I saw the first half of Pirates of the Caribbean. Only the first half.
Right, what'd you think? I mean, it's enough to form an opinion, isn't it?
It's fine so far.
But not.
No.
No. Yeah, that's
whatever.
What I hear.
Whatever.
I hear it's comparable to 1, not as good as 2 and 3.
I definitely did not think it was comparable to 1.
Oh, really?
Not as good as 2 and 3.
Or better than 2 and 3, sorry.
Oh. Yeah. I really enjoyed the first movie. I don't think it was a great film, but I really enjoyed it. This was okay so far.
Okay.
But I was always...
You think you'll ever go back and see the second half?
Yeah, I do. You know, the other thing, too, is that I had a lot on my mind that day.
Right.
The reason that we had to leave in the middle of the movie has to do with why I wasn't totally concentrating on it. So, you know, I might have myself to blame for part of the reason I didn't enjoy it.
Did you pretend like you hated it and tried to get your money back?
No, I said that I had to go home because there was something wrong with my song, and they gave us rain checks.
Oh.
Yeah. They were very nice. Yeah. Thank you very much, Regal Cinemas. Deer Park 16.
And the Regal Beagle.
The Regal Beagle. Is it Regal Cinemas? I don't even know if it's Regal anymore.
Yep.
Cinemark.
Oh.
Cinemark.
Because we got a Regal by us.
Yeah. Cinemark, Deer Park 16.
That's where I saw the Thor.
The Thor movie.
Next, Kate Beckinsale, Jessica Biel, and John Cho, who played Sulu in Star Trek, will all appear in the Total Recall remake.
Wow. So Jessica Biel, Kate Beckinsale, is she going to play?
I don't know. We've had this conversation before.
Well, isn't it in IMDb yet?
Oh, who they're playing? Oh,
yeah.
Well, let me take a look at that.
I would think that she would play the character that Rachel Ticotin played, and that...
Oh, I didn't know Bokeem Woodbine was going to be in it. I haven't seen him in years.
And then
Bryan Cranston?
And then Jessica Biel would play the...
Kate Beckinsale is playing Lori.
Really? So they're switching it up.
And Jessica Biel is playing Melina.
Wow, I would have thought it would have been the opposite.
Ethan Hawke is in it?
Wouldn't you have thought it would have been the opposite?
Who was Sharon Stone?
Sharon Stone was Laurie. I would have thought it would have been the opposite.
Yeah, I would have too. Yeah, I would have too. Interesting.
Very interesting. Who's John Cho playing?
McLean.
What? Isn't that the Schwarzenegger character?
No, that's Colin Farrell. Hauser.
Oh, that's right. Wait.
You're thinking Die Hard.
Oh, you're right. Oops.
Let's move on. For whatever reason, Warner Brothers is going ahead
with
a sequel to Yogi
I think
Bear.
McClane is the bad guy who was played by...
Well, wouldn't that be like Bryan Cranston would be the bad guy?
I can't remember anymore.
Yeah. Did you hear what I'm saying? Warner Brothers is going ahead with a sequel to Yogi the Bear.
Okay. All right. Have fun with that, Warner Brothers.
MGM and Screen Yeah, MGM and Screen Gems are teaming up to remake the Stephen King classic Carrie. It is said that this version will be more faithful to the novel than to the 70s film.
Did Stephen King not like the 70s film? I thought everyone liked that movie. I thought that was supposed to be a great movie. I've never seen it, but...
That's a great movie.
Yeah. I've never seen it.
It's one of the best Stephen King movies.
That looks to me like I would be disturbed by it.
You would be.
I'm sure that's the point of the film, I'm not so sure I want that in my world.
You know, that would be a good film to... you know how now there's all these campaigns against bullying? That would be a good film to...
Really?
Show. Campaign against bullying. Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of people end up bloody in that movie, don't they?
They all end up dead in that movie.
So that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
And, here's our last item. Well, scratch the last episode's news item about Schwarzenegger appearing in the next Terminator film. The Inseminator has taken... That's my new name for him.
Nice.
The Inseminator has taken an indefinite hiatus from all things Hollywood.
Why?
To deal with his personal... dramas.
Well, go give the kids some money and then get moving, movie making. I mean, let's see more Terminator movies with Arnold. Do you want to see that anymore?
Yeah. Before he's 80, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We don't have time.
He's taking a break from all shows business.
No, we don't have time for him to take a break. He has work to do. Okay?
Yeah, sounds like he was doing a little too much work.
Or having a little too much fun, depending on how you look at it. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about everything else. Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about everything else in the old mashup.
The moosh moosh.
You want to start this off?
Yeah. You know, I've read a couple articles about something DC Comics is doing. You know, we don't talk much about comics because we don't really read comics. I used to read comics when I was a kid. And, you know, every once in a while I'll download a couple on my iPad, but I'm not an avid comics reader. But DC Comics is doing something really cool this year. They're taking all their superhero series, like all their franchises, and, you know, like Batman probably has like 8 series, and Superman probably has a few. So when I say all their series, I mean anyone that has to do with superheroes, which totals 52.
Okay.
They're taking all of them, and they're starting them all at number one.
They're redoing them
all? Like for 76 years, you know, they've been numbered from, you know, the very first one.
Right.
Yeah. They're not redoing them like origin stories and that. They're just starting all new series for all of them within the next year.
Why are they doing that?
To breathe new life into the characters, because apparently Marvel Comics, I mean, I'm talking just about the comics now, not about the films or anything.
Right.
Marvel Comics since 2002 has had the market share on print comics.
Okay.
So DC's got to find some way to breathe life back into like their superheroes. And so they're taking all their best writers and the ones that work best together and putting them, you know, on their pet projects. And they're hiring a whole bunch of new writers and artists to kind of reboot all of their superheroes.
Yeah.
So within the next year.
And you're talking about 52 series or 52 superheroes?
52 series.
Okay.
So, like, Batman probably has, like, 5 or 6, eight or whatever. Superman, I'm sure, has a few.
Right.
And then there's some with, you know, there's one with Batman and Superman.
Right.
Then there's the Justice League where there's a bunch of them.
Right.
Then there are superheroes that were listed that I had never even heard of.
Right.
That have their own. So all of them are getting a reboot and starting at number one. But they're not necessarily going to, you know, go back to, like, you know, this is how Batman became Batman.
Right, right.
Is there going to be any work for me in this? You starting over? But that is the first reboot.
One?
Is Justice League is the first reboot. So in August, it'll start with, I know, but that's based on
same
Justice
thing,
League.
Right? Yeah.
So it'll start with episode or issue one
of Zan and Jaina,
and they're gonna start again because Justice League has taken so many turns and has had so many people on it. They're gonna start with the core group again of Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, Flash, and Aquaman.
Okay,
so that will be Justice League again, and then they'll bring in other superheroes.
Now, wasn't Aquaman always kind of like the odd man out in terms of like nobody really liked him? Like, wouldn't they all be like doing their superhero stuff and he would be like in the water
like,
waving, like, hey, you guys, what can I
do? You know, one of the things they want to do is, you know, we're a much more, with that kind of material, we're much, you know, it goes much deeper now. So they're going to focus a lot more on like the human interaction between the superheroes rather than just making it all action and punch them up and all that. So
I just hope they don't go too like trying to make it like trying too hard. Like, oh, let's make this like what was the movie based on a graphic novel from a couple of years ago, The Watchmen. Hope they don't go like too much in that direction.
You mean where they make like a political statement?
Yeah, no, and like social commentary and all that kind of
stuff. I don't think that's what they're trying to do. I think they're just trying to make the superheroes seem more realistic and human.
Yeah.
Now, another cool thing they're doing that no one does, none of the major comic book companies do now, is you know, you can buy DC and Marvel Comics right now for the iPad, but you can't buy the current issues.
Okay.
I mean, usually there's a delay. Well, DC realizes that right now 40% of the comics being bought are digitally.
That's wild.
So when the new issues come out, the same day they come out in the comic book stores, they come out for whether your computer or your iPad.
I wonder if that's going to make comic books like more collectible again, because there's been so many different comics by so many different companies in the last 20 years that I can't imagine any of them is really collectible, because people have been buying them on spec, you know, to hopefully sell them one day for money, that I don't think there's any shortage of them.
Right.
And I wonder if that's going to start to reverse that again, because if the number of or percentage of digital copies that's bought keeps going up because people are lazy and don't want to find a comic book store, I wonder if that's going to make the actual print copies start to be valuable again.
Perhaps.
I don't know.
But
none of this affects me because I don't read comic books. Or
I know, but
them,
I think it's really cool.
And no, I really think I think that's a really smart business decision.
Because, you know, I used to read comic books like when I was a kid, probably in my early teens. I was religious to them.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as an adult, I want to kind of get back into them. But because of the high numbers and the different series, you know, like I said, you go to find a Batman comic and there's like 8 different ones.
Right.
And it's daunting. I mean, you don't know where to start. You know, is it in the middle of a storyline here? I mean, to know that, you know, everything is going to have a starting point and like kind of build a new world from there, I think it's exciting. And I think it'll get a lot more comic book readers than there are now.
Yeah. Well, you know, and the thing too that I think it might be very successful at doing is for people like me, who you would think would be in the demographic to read comics, but who never did read them as a kid. And then, you know, again, getting into it at this stage of the game is daunting, because you're not going to go back and get the originals, because first of all, it'd be cost prohibitive and, you know, all that kind of stuff. What are you going to read, you know, 50 years worth of comics?
Right.
So it's like, in that sense, it's kind of interesting, because for people who thought they might like it but never got into it, it's a chance for them to kind of start at the beginning again and see if
they
like it.
That's exactly what I was saying.
Right, but you were talking about more for people who had read comic books and lost touch with it. I'm talking about people who never read them at all.
Okay.
Because I've never bought or read a comic book in my life. So when you were a kid, when you were first reading them, would you go to like a comic book store? Would you just go to like a bookstore or a newsstand, or where did you buy them?
Any of those? They didn't. I don't think they had comic book stores then.
Really?
I remember getting them at like the 7-Eleven by our house.
Oh, okay. They still sell them at places like that?
I don't think
like
7-Eleven
the main
sells
ones?
Them anymore.
Yeah.
But bookstores.
Yeah. The only publications I ever see at 7-Eleven are like
Auto Trader
and, you know,
Jugs.
Not only that, but like weird, you know, import tuner with some busty Latina model on the hood of a car I've never seen before. Stuff like that.
But you get that at the house, so you don't even have to go.
Yeah, I don't have to go to 7-Eleven. It's a waste of my time.
All right, that's my comic spiel.
Okay. Microsoft has released a video, which we will post on the address to on pause.com, of some of the cool new features of Windows 8. They are, in fact, really cool. It's what's really interesting is it looks like Microsoft is doing the smart thing and looking much more forward even than some of their competitors, and taking the desktop to the realm of the sort of tablet and touchscreen and mobile, you know, experience, and starting to bridge that gap. Because there's this distinct paradigm difference between desktop computing and what is now considered the norm for mobile computing. And what's really interesting about what they show in this video is they really are bridging that gap with a user interface experience that looks a lot like the Windows Phone 7, which, again, I will say is a very compelling user interface experience. It's just that there are some other things on the Windows Phone system that don't work as well, which I think is why it's not really gaining that much traction. But I think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens with Windows 8, because you'll still be able to run all the same types of applications you run now in the same way. But then there's this other layer that's there where you can interact with the different applications and elements in the operating system in really, really interesting ways.
Yeah, it's really cool. I urge everyone to watch the video, because
It's really cool.
Is a statement of where
things are, where things are and where things are going.
Right. And like you said, that convergence of,
yeah, the convergence of, you know, utility and and social aspects of how people use computing devices.
I think you're going to see that. I mean, just to play the other side of the coin as well, I think you're going to see Apple when they have their keynote, which I think is within this
next week. Or yeah, maybe
they're going to talk a lot about OS 5 and
iOS 5, yeah,
and Lion.
Right.
So I think you're going to see a lot of that in that as well.
Yeah. Think so?
Absolutely.
Is that the rumor?
I'm putting it out there.
Okay. Have you ever heard of Thanko?
No.
They're one of these companies that is often ridiculed for all the goofy, cheapo gadgets that they sell. But now they have a set of sunglasses with a built-in HD camcorder. And the lens is like right in the middle of the bridge, just like you've seen on a million, you know, TV shows and movies and stuff like that. And it records 720p video.
Is it obvious that it's a lens?
No, it's just like a little hole, and the frames are black.
So, like, you met someone who was wearing these glasses, not you, because you know, but right, like, if someone who didn't know met someone wearing glasses, they would not know.
Well,
that
especially if they had long hair, because they're the earpieces, you know, have a thicker part, because one of them has a couple buttons on it, and the other one has the micro SD card in it. So, like, if a girl was wearing them, for instance, you would probably never know. And it records 720p video at 30 frames per second. And the cool thing is, they're only $75. Isn't that insane?
And you've seen sample video from these glasses?
I have not yet seen sample video.
Well, but we need to see that.
I mean, from the, you know, proliferation of devices that can record 720p video for not that much money, it doesn't, it would not come as a shock that it, you know, would actually look all right.
Right.
Researchers at the University of Florida are on their way to producing bioplastic from ordinary plant waste like leaves and grass. They estimate that the making of plastic out of straw, for instance, is 13 times less expensive than sugar and 5 times less expensive than corn or wheat, which is really cool because it doesn't require, you know, petroleum at all. Scientists are wondering if there might be a massive brown dwarf, which is a gas giant bigger than Jupiter, orbiting in our solar system much further out than the rest of the planets. If there is another planet out there, it would explain why comets enter our solar system in the elliptical orbit that they do. But the weird thing is that we have specific telescopes out in space looking for that sort of thing, and you would think we would have seen it if it was out there, but you never know. Apple's iWork software is now available on the iPhone. That means no escaping work for anybody who works for a company that uses iWork instead of Microsoft Office, of which there are approximately zero. The ISS, a.k.a. the International Space Station, is finally complete now that a laser-equipped extension boom for the station's robot arm has been installed. Officials from NASA and the ESA stated that now that they're finished with the ISS, they're planning on disassembling it so that they can use the parts to build something really cool. I just made that up, by the way.
Yep.
I don't know if you knew that. Okay, get this. There's a new product called the TV Guardian that's about $210. It's a set-top box that removes bad language from the audio of whatever you're watching and replaces it with non-naughty text on screen. So you program it to filter out words, specific words that you don't like, and whenever somebody on TV says one of those words, it's just, there's just no sound.
Now, what if it mistakes innocent words for the bad words?
I don't know. There is video of this, and you see it working. And, you know, it's just
because what would be funny is if it's an innocent word, but then it treats it as a bad word, and then it gives a whole new meaning to what was said on the TV.
Yeah, it could. But I mean, the things that it replaces it with are just so ridiculous, you know, like they showed a clip from Monk where, you know, the Stottlemyre says, you know, and I'm going to get the son of a bitch who did this. And so, you know, what you see is I'm going to get the that did this. And on the screen, it says, I'm going to get the jerk that did this. So that seems like a lot of expense and a lot of work for very little payoff, if you ask me.
So you returned it?
I did return it. Dr. Sarah Parsak of the University of Alabama has used satellite infrared imaging to discover 17 lost pyramids, more than 1,000 tombs, and 3,000 settlements in Egypt underground. Actually, they have started excavating some of the areas to make sure that her findings were correct. And so far, they did start to uncover two of the pyramids. That's insane. Like,
that
all this
insane.
Stuff is actually buried underground.
Right.
That
Imagine
is
all
so
the treasures.
Cool. Treasures.
Treasures
possibly
galore.
Even a trove of treasures. Possibly even national treasure.
No.
I'm just saying. A scientist in India. There's a lot of science in this episode.
Yeah.
A scientist in India has invented a male birth control injection called Rysug. You get two shots to the old scrotum right there. You've lost about 90% of your customers. And then your swimmers are zapped out of existence during sex for a minimum of 10 years. Multiple studies have shown 100% effectiveness. The process has no apparent side effects and is completely reversible. It's also really cheap, which is why no drug companies in the U.S. are interested in it. Although a private foundation called Parsemus has gotten a grant from the Gates Foundation to see if Rysug would also work on women. But isn't that amazing? I was reading about how it works.
It is, but don't you worry about like side effects?
There are none. Here's how it works.
Maybe long term.
They take this little polymer. No, it's non-medical. It's a non-medical thing. They take this polymer and they charge it with, I forget if it's positive or negative. They give it a positive or negative charge, whatever it is. And they inject it into your scrotum. And then what happens is as the sperm are passing through it, it doesn't block the tubes or anything. But as the sperm are passing through it, the sperm have the other charge.
Uh-huh.
And so they get like eradicated. The polymer cancels out the sperm and they just like get zapped out of existence. So if you want to undo it, they just put something in there that basically removes the polymer and then you're back to normal.
Wow.
And so it's not like you're even getting injected with a drug or anything like that.
Right.
It's almost like a, you know, tape eraser in your
scroty
leathery nutsack. many of us have seen videos of Boston Dynamics big dog quadruped robot, but as far back as 1965, the U.S. military has had a four-legged truck called the CAM that was developed by General Electric to help navigate through rough terrain and move heavy things out of the way. There's a really cool video of this guy operating it, and he uses like one of the legs to like push a Jeep out of the way. It's really cool. Unfortunately, the operator had to make all the decisions about which leg to move. So it wasn't like it was computerized where you would just like go that way and it would work. You had to like individually move the four legs, two with your feet and two with your hands. And it was so exhausting that they could only run it for about 15 minutes and then they would like need a rest. But we'll also post the link to that video too, because it's very cool to watch. Okay, so for some strange reason, Apple has announced what it's going to be announcing at the Worldwide Developer Conference next week, which they have never done before. In the entire history of the company, they have never pre-announced anything that they're going to be talking about. The news about the future news includes iOS 5, Mac OS X Lion, and iCloud, which is their cloud-based service that'll probably let you stream your music from the cloud to wherever you are. Details of that won't be available until next week.
I read this... this theory yesterday that the reason they did that was to ensure people that they were not going to see a new iPhone.
Right.
But why would they need to do that?
Well, you know, we follow this news. A lot of people don't. It would probably just assume, oh, it's June. There's going to be a new iPhone. So they probably didn't want all those people upset. I don't know.
Maybe.
Why not just release a new iPhone?
Oh, then? So finally Apple's worried about making people upset?
No, I guess you're right. It doesn't make any sense. Finally, the world's first amphibious ice cream truck has been launched in London. The HMS Flake 99 can deliver frosty treats via land or sea and even carries the tagline, licensed to chill.
I'm so glad you made this the last story.
And that, as always, brings us to the point of the show where we go over our votes for the best and worst entertainment moments of the week. Please, Tony, please, as you always manage to somehow do, give us your worst.
Two words. Scotty McCreepy.
I was just going to say American
Scotty
Idol.
McCreepy.
Also my worst entertainment moment since the last show.
Scotty McCreepy.
Scotty McCreepy.
That's all I can
say. I do like that. That's really funny. There's nothing else that needs to be said.
No, there's really not.
And it seemed like Scotty and Lauren maybe had a little romantic entanglement.
I've seen them on talk shows and they highly deny it.
Oh, okay. Because they made it out to be like there was something going on there. There was a little romantic involvement between two contestants on The Voice this week.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Even including an on-screen kiss.
Wow. Wow. Racy.
Very, very racy. It was not at all racy, by the way. So, yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you on that. Yeah. Again, it's nice to have the same worst moment.
Yeah.
So, what about your best?
I'm going to go with my classic film project.
Just in general?
Yeah. Because really, like I said, all five of them, all excellent movies. I mean, I'm picking movies that are classics, so I already know that I'm not going to like see a dud.
Right.
I don't know if I mentioned all the ones that I told you I had Apollo 13 lined up, HUD. I also, some of the ones I got for really cheap, I still have never seen Casablanca. I have that on Blu-ray.
You've never seen that? Wow.
Never seen Gone with the Wind. I have that on Blu-ray. I've never seen...
I'm not a huge fan of either movie, but I've seen them.
Dirty Dozen I have on Blu-ray. I haven't seen that either. And then, like I said, a ton on Netflix. Netflix, how much is it for instant streaming a month? Like $8?
Oh, I don't know.
That's the best $8 a month I spend.
Because it's unlimited?
Well, the instant streaming, yeah.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I think Netflix is fantastic. Don't get me wrong. They've completely changed.
My complaint, though, is there's not enough in high def.
Well, I don't even know about that yet. Well, my biggest complaint about Netflix is that if you don't already know what you want to see, and I'm talking about getting movies, you know, DVDs and Blu-rays delivered. If you don't already know what you want to see, it is impossible to find anything on there. Because when you go through, if you say, you know, I want to look at everything in sci-fi or I want to look at new releases, most of the movies are so old or obscure that I would never in a million years want to watch them.
Right.
And it's like, I know that, because, you know, we don't go to the movies as much as we used to because we can't. And we've missed a ton of movies, but I haven't seen anything on Netflix. I was just looking at it again the other day. I didn't see a single thing on there that we missed that I would want to see. So I can't figure out where all the movies are. I'm having trouble finding stuff on
there. Why don't you?
And you go to new releases, and it's like, okay.
No, I mean, look at like a website that has DVD release schedules.
Yeah, well, that's
back that way.
But you would think that you should be able to do
that.
And the thing is, like, these sites never seem to do a good job of differentiating between like the AB titles and everything else.
Right.
When you want to see new releases, you want to see like the new releases that you want to see.
Right.
And not like, you know,
Tinkerbell Saves Fairy Tale Land.
Right. Yeah. And not, you know, Mars of Phobos 9 or whatever. You know, it's like, well, I don't want to see that movie. I want to see the good movies
that
were in the
that.
Theater.
You would see
well,
that.
I probably would see that. That I missed. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't know. I always seem to have trouble finding stuff on there. It's annoying.
Yeah, and I have to say, even the instant streaming going through on the consoles on both the Xbox and the PS3, which for some reason are still different. I don't know why they're different. But like, it's you have to still do some navigating. It's not great.
Yeah, it's not great. It's weird because so much stuff about Netflix is great. And the other thing that I've never liked about that is I don't like when you add something to your queue and it pops up that other stupid page with all the stuff that you don't care about that you then have to close.
I don't know. That doesn't happen on the consoles.
Oh, no. You've never used it on a computer?
I don't have to. I just do it while I'm watching.
No, I mean before you had it on the consoles. You never had it? You never used it on the computer?
Oh, I did, yeah.
You don't remember that?
No.
You add something to your queue and it pops up like another window, like an overlay that takes up the entire screen. That you have to close to go back to what you were doing.
I don't remember that.
So dumb. But anyway. So what about your best entertainment? Oh, you already said that.
That was my best.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've done so little that I'm actually, for my best, going to go with The Mechanic.
That's your best?
Well, I haven't played any games.
About,
I only saw a half of Pirates
of
the Caribbean.
Pawn Stars?
No, not Pawn Queens. That's not going to be my
Pawn
best.
Pawn Queens, yeah.
No. I'm sorry. I mean.
Yeah, you got nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's going to The Mechanic. So, you know, congratulations, Jason Statham. I like him. I like him. And actually, you know, they're working on a Transporter TV series. And I think...
With him?
No, not with him. Although, the guy who played Frank, I think is... No, he played Frank. The guy who played the cop in the movies, this French policeman, is... The same actor is going to play the same character in the TV show, which I think is really cool because it's a good character.
So it's like Radar on MASH.
Was he in the movie?
Yes.
And in the okay. So there you go. See? Great casting. You want to keep that as much as possible.
Right.
So I'm looking forward to that too. But that's pretty much it. You got anything else?
No.
All right, cool. Well, thanks again for listening as always. And please write us cards and letters.
Yeah, if you want to post maybe some movie suggestions on the fan page. I mean, keep in mind, I'm only watching movies that I haven't seen before. So, you know, how are you going to know what I've seen and what I haven't seen?
Right.
Because I posted something on my personal fan page and people are putting stuff like Taxi Driver, Raging Bull. I'm like, come on.
Come on.
Come on. Come on.
Star Wars. Come on.
I mean,
yeah.
So, I mean, if there's maybe something.
Here.
I mean, don't put the obvious ones like that. But if there's something, a classic that's maybe a little obscure. Not obscure, because obviously it wouldn't be a classic, but, you know, something maybe you think I may not just come across on my own.
Right.
Suggest it.
So there you go. And so keep those cards and letters coming. And as always, we will see you next time.
Bye.